Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom, like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
Quality sleep is essential. That's why the Sleep Number Smart Bed is designed for your ever-evolving sleep needs. Need a bed that's firmer or softer on either side? Helps you sleep at a comfortable temperature? Sleep Number Smart Beds let you individualize your comfort, so you sleep better together. J.D. Power ranks Sleep Number number one in customer satisfaction with mattresses purchased in-store. And now, save 40% on the Sleep Number Limited Edition smart bed for a limited time. For J.D. Power 2023 award information, visit jdpower.com/awards. Only at Sleep Number stores or sleepnumber.com.
Outspoken with White and Jordan. 100% engagement.
It's a total disrespect.
Download, stand well back, listen.
Jim White and Simon Jordan.
I don't see that view.
Outspoken with White and Jordan.
From the world's biggest sports radio station, Talk Sport.
Thanks for listening to Outspoken with White and Jordan. I'm Jim White, and today myself and Peterborough owner Darren McAntony discussed the brilliant championship promotion race. But will Leicester's return to the Premier League leave a sour taste in the mouth of their rivals? Meantime, Roberto De Zerbi cast doubt over his Brighton future by refusing to commit to the Seagulls for next season. But does he deserve the title of football's most wanted man? Elsewhere, Crystal Palace have removed discounts for members of the armed forces and NHS staff. Should football club owners care more? And Dara gives us his take on Chelsea manager Emma Hayes after she accused her counterpart, Jonas Edeval, of male aggression on the touchline. You're listening to Outspoken with White and Jordan. Good morning, everybody. It is Tuesday morning. No Simon Jordan. And many of you are saying, Darren McAntony, we're enjoying this man. Absolutely. Former goalkeeper Brian Gunn. Remember Brian? Remember Gunny?
I love Gunny.
Say absolutely hi to the chairman. And good luck in the final, says Brian.
Appreciate you, Brian. Top class as usual. Love to the family.
Good stuff. And there's Eddie, Virgin Radio, just along the corridor. Wow. What am I hearing? Great stuff with Darren McAntony, Jim. Your chemistry together is great as well. He sounds great. You've got a lot of love out there for you, Mr. McAntony. And that will not stop. There's a gentleman listening over in Kuwait. Tells me that he's enjoying what he's hearing, and that is good from our point of view. The championship over Easter weekend, of course, with the games on Friday afternoon. And then yesterday on the Monday, we learn an awful lot more about who may get out the championship, who may stay in it, who may drop out of it. Now, of course, at the right end of the table, Ipswich, they needed to get back to winning ways, and they did. Ipswich looking darn good. Leicester got back to winning ways after only one league win in six. So now the 1-2-3 is Ipswich, Leeds and Leicester. Ipswich managed a 3-2 win with an absolute last gasp kick of the ball, and Kieran McKenna upbeat about the chance of going up.
We try our utmost to win every game. You know, we can't, and we don't put any extra onus on any game, because we've treated every game since the start of the season with the utmost respect. The players have put maximum effort into both the preparation and the performance, and we've done it for 40 games, and we can't do any more than that. So we can't, and we don't need to ramp this one up anymore. We don't need to do it on Saturday. We just need to stick to our process, prepare as well as we can, and go and give everything to the performance. And you know, it's worked for us so far. We're playing some really good football. We're picking up lots of points, and, you know, we got some tough games to come, but we'll try and do the same.
I mean, you're a big fan of Kieran McKenna, am I right?
I think, yeah. I mean,
you think he's a nailed-on Premier League manager?
Yeah, Luke was laughing me out of the studio this morning, because I said, as a Liverpool fan, even as an outside dark horse, I love his brand of football. I've been watching him since last year in League One. What he's done, I mean, you can say Ipswich are a big club, but they didn't go out and spend mega millions in the summer. They kept a large part of the squad, the team from League One, and the top of the championship with 5-6 games to go, you know, and it's incredible, really. And it's not only that, it's not just his coaching and managing, it's the style. It's great to watch. If you watched that game yesterday, it was a great advert for our industry. It was non-stop. Russell does a great job at Southampton with his style. Then you got Ipswich with their style, with a counter punch in. And it was just a great last 20 minutes. It was an enthralling game to watch. And that's what you want to see. So yeah. I think he's destined for the top. I think he wins promotion with Ipswich this year. I think he's going to surprise people what he would do with them in the Premier League. And yeah, he is. Within 5 years, he'd be managing a top six club. And that's with all due respect to Ipswich. I love Mark Ashton and everything they've done there. But I don't think you can keep a guy like that down forever from going to a top club.
When you watch teams like that, Dara, is there any way your boys could compete at that level?
Yeah.
Not at the moment, surely.
Well, you know, yeah, I mean, we finished, a few places behind Ipswich last year. And like I said to you, they're a brilliant team and a brilliant squad. But I do watch it and I go, you know, there is a chance for us, because it's not like Ipswich went out and spent $5 million a player. They were surgical in their transfer recruitment. Well, yes, they paid a few quid for a few of them and paid some wages, but they've put together a great squad. And a couple of the lads they've got in there, you're thinking they were in League One for a long time. Would they play at the Champ? And they've absolutely would have plumbed, yeah. Just, you know, adjusted to it, no problem.
Mind you, Dara, it's all about levels. I mean, last season, everyone was getting blown away by Vincent Kompany's Burnley. Up they come, and of course they found life harder than hard in the top flight.
Yeah.
It's all about levels, isn't it? You can get up, but it's what you do when you get up.
Yeah, it is and it isn't. You know, I always looked at Burnley and I thought, the goals, that's where they might struggle, you know, and you always look at it and go, if they'd gone that bit further and got that goal score and maybe spent 25 million of all the transfers they did in the summer to add to what they had in the Championship, 25, 30 million, would that have been a difference maker? It would have been interesting to see. But that's football, that's the industry we're in. And you're almost writing Burnley off, Jim. You never know. There might be a miracle over the next 8-9 games.
Possibly. So let's say Ipswich go up.
Sure.
It's between Leeds and Leicester for the second automatic. Who'd you take?
I think Leeds will win the league.
We think they'll win the league.
Oh, I think Leeds will win the league, yeah.
Right.
I said again in my podcast, I said Leeds, for me, they've been on fire, and I think they'll win the league. And I watched them again last night, and they weren't at their best, and they still won. I think Leeds win the league. I hope Ipswich go second. We have a few hundred grand and a promotion bonus for Jack Taylor we sold to them, so I'm fingers crossed on that.
Of course.
Sorry, that's the game, that's the industry. And then I hope Coventry go up via the playoffs. So, because we just sold them a player in January and we've got lots of nice add-ons in there as well for when they're in the Premier League. So,
there
you
go.
You got to look at it like that. Over the years, for clubs like us, it's imperative. It's really important.
Yeah. You know what I mean? On Leicester, Dara. Now, Leicester, as you know, were charged by the Premier League, referred to an independent commission for allegedly breaking spending rules during the last three seasons in the top flight. If they're found guilty, they could face a points deduction next season.
Sure.
Our FFP expert, you probably heard him, Stefan Borsen, opened up a bit about that one.
Leicester City are captured by the old rules, and the old rules don't have the expedited timetable that the rules that came in after they were relegated. They have only just effectively fessed up their numbers for 22-23. They resisted showing the numbers to the Premier League, presumably because they say, well, they're not a Premier League club and therefore they don't need to. And it will be a sort of slower, probably a more tortuous legal battle that will resolve itself probably sometime in the middle of next season.
You know, you'd expect pushback from Leicester, and we got it in the form of a statement from the chairman, Top, in his programme notes yesterday. We will always respect our obligations to the rules of the game and governing bodies whose responsibility is to enforce them. By the right bodies and at the right time, please be assured that we will continue to act as we always have in the best interest of the clubs, of the club and the fans. But here's the thing, though, Dara.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, will promotion for Leicester, if they get it, leave a sour taste in the mouth amongst their rivals? Because here they are, and they're staving it off. They say, well, we'll fight it. You would do the same as Top.
Absolutely. All day long.
With robustness.
What's that saying in life? Ask for forgiveness down the line, you know what I mean? Do it first and ask for forgiveness later.
You
know,
I mean, if they start next season with minus points, is that fair to the others?
They're not worried about next season. They just want to get back to the Premier League. And I think they get back to the Premier League and they take a Forest point situation where they're 3 or 4 points knocked off. You know, Leicester probably fancy their chances of staying up and dealing with that. Is it fair to the club that gets beaten? You know, let's say Southampton get beaten by Leicester or whatever else. You can talk about lawsuits again and all that kind of stuff. And football's been a bit like that the last couple of years. Do you know what I mean? With a lot of lawsuits with clubs and settlements and whatever else. There's too much grey area here. I think the EFL and the Premier League need to come up with one size suits all. And they need to have rules specified. And people are finding loopholes. And those at the top of the Premier League and EFL need to close the loopholes. So this doesn't happen again. And there is no grey area.
Do you agree with the rules full stop? Points deductions over fines?
Yeah, I mean, if somebody... Do I agree with a club like Nottingham Forest who got promoted and were trying to spend to stay in the Premier League getting fined or points deduction? No, I don't. Do I agree with maybe other clubs who've been abusing it for 4, 5, 6 years in a row, yes, I agree with points deductions for that. I don't agree. I'm with the Simon train of thought. When you buy a club or a club gets promoted, there should be a little bit more latitude, you know, a little bit more forgiveness given as you go about rebuilding and keeping yourself in that league. So I think that's really unfair and harsh.
But
and not
Dara, I know you. If Leicester went up at your expense...
I would, of course, threaten legal action. I wouldn't probably take it. I'd probably want a check. So, and Leicester might be willing to write that check. And that's what often happens. We got stuffed a couple of years ago in the Championship with, you know, a club who broke the rules over and over, and they're still breaking the rules now in League One. And we ended up missing out and getting relegated by a couple of points, where this club had a suspended points total by 6. And we actually have, we have a legal right. We could sue them for a lot of money for what happened. And because of what was going on with that club. And
you're talking about Wickham?
No.
Who are you talking about?
I don't want to go into it, but the reality is I've got all these legal things in front of me that we could have sued the ass off them, won comfortably, got a settlement, and I said no. And the reason I did it was because that club's in enough trouble and their fans are going through a lot of nonsense. Do you know what I mean? So I left it alone.
Believe you? You've really been good to that club by not doing it?
100%. No, I looked at it and I thought, you know what, I'm moving on. Because at the end of the day, you can spend a lot of time thinking about ifs and what ifs and all of that, and there's just no point in looking back.
It's out there now. You may as well tell us who it is.
Well, it's not going to take rocket. If you knew anything about football, you'd already know.
Download, stand well back, listen.
Outspoken with White and Jordan.
From the world's biggest sports radio station, Talk Sport.
We are going to cast our net a bit far and wide at the moment. Bayern Munich, of course, they know come the end of the football season there'll be no Thomas Tuchel, because he announced earlier on that he'll be departing the scene. Bayern Munich, who have seriously underachieved this season, and of course that doesn't help Harry Kane, who's played out his skin, but he's been about the only one. So now they're talking about who is going to take over at Bayern Munich, now that Xabi Alonso has said he's going to stay at Bayer Leverkusen, and the name in the frame is Roberto De Zerbi of Brighton. His name is being mentioned constantly right now. Before we speak to our German football correspondent, Konstantin Eckner, who's a regular contributor and a good one to this show, De Zerbi himself spoke before they went in against Liverpool, before Brighton went in against Liverpool at the weekend.
I have not decided yet what is my future, because I have the contract, but anyway, I want to speak with Tony, with my club, to understand their plan, to understand his plan, the Tony plan, and then we take the decision together without problems.
So, Dara, what we didn't hear there was, I'm the Brighton manager and I'm staying the Brighton manager. Yeah. And I might say something at the end of the season. Does that surprise you? Does that disappoint you?
It does. He's had more clubs than Tiger Woods. I think he needs to calm down. He's played some lovely football. They've done okay. Tony Bloom won't lose a moment's sleep about that. He loses top players and replaces them, and he makes millions. So, and he plays poker for a living. So I'd imagine him sitting with this fella and saying, get back in your box. You've got a long-term contract. What do we need to speak about? Calm down. And stop drinking your own Kool-Aid until you've actually done something. You're top 10 at the moment. You're playing some decent football, but don't get ahead of yourself, okay?
Yeah.
And that's the reality. You look at his record and whatever else. Whilst he's done very well in the Premier League the last couple of years, he has been a bit of a nomad. He's been everywhere. But he's never had great success anywhere. So go and be successful. Go and win something. And then you can give answers like that. In the meantime, sit there and say, I'm very thankful to Mr. Bloom. He's given me a wonderful opportunity to manage in the Premier League. I'm doing pretty well. And I'd like maybe a few more quid to spend in the transfer market and have a go at the top four. And I want to be ambitious.
Well, let's find out more about this, because De Zerbi has emerged as a leading candidate to succeed Tuchel as Bayern manager. A leading candidate. Konstantin Eckner over in Germany this morning. Is he the leading candidate? Is he leading the way?
I mean, he's among three candidates, and yeah, he has emerged as someone who might become the next Bayern manager. I mean, who knows at this point in time? I mean, Bayern were so focused on Xabi Alonso a little while ago. Once they learned that Xabi Alonso would stay at Bayer Leverkusen, of course, they pivoted away and looked for alternatives. And one alternative on a pretty short list is actually Roberto De Zerbi. The other two names right now that have been discussed internally at Bayern are Ralf Rangnick, the former caretaker manager of Manchester United, who's currently managing the Austrian national team, and of course very well known in German football for the past almost three decades. And then the other name is actually Julian Nagelsmann, who was sacked by Bayern last year. And he will be out of a contract after the Euros. So there have been discussions that he might, or that they might ask him to come back, actually, because I think his sacking was prematurely happening, and that's what Bayern are realizing now. But the third name is Roberto De Serbi and Max Eberl, who's now the man in charge at Bayern, and who just came in a few months ago. He has already reached out, put his feelers out to find out if De Serbi would be available, and also to find out about that buyout clause that is actually in De Serbi's contract and can be triggered this summer.
I see. So, I mean, the feelers are already out there, as you heard from Constantine there. So there must be more than something in it. Ralf Rangnick, another candidate, as Constantine said, Julian Nagelsmann. You can see that.
Yeah.
But I can see De Zerbi being in there right to the very end.
Yeah, I mean, look, there's no doubt tactically he's very good. The football's great to watch. Would he be a good fit for Bayern Munich? Absolutely. I mean, they didn't get Alonso. Everyone wanted Alonso. As a Liverpool fan, I'm distraught over that one. I don't know why he wants to stay. You have the year he's about to have. You win the league, you move on. I'm not sure it's going to get any better. So maybe he is perfect, the bright manager for the Bayern Munich job. And whoever goes in there, I would imagine they're going to get back in. It's a good club to go to. He might end up winning trophies for the first time in his career.
Yeah. Constantine, how is Roberto De Zerbi viewed, if he is indeed viewed in any way whatsoever, by Bayern Munich fans?
By fans, I don't know. I mean, of course, to some extent, German football fans follow the Premier League. A couple of games are broadcasted by Sky Germany, but only a couple of games. So you might watch a Brighton game every other week, maybe, you know, once or twice a month, if you are able, because they only broadcast a few games. Of course, in this day and age, people know about coaches when they want to know about them. What's interesting about the Serbians now, when we look at the German football landscape, we have two successful coaches. The first one is Fabian Hürseler at St. Pauli, leading the Bundesliga 2, the second division. And the other one is Sebastian Hoeneß, the nephew of Uli Hoeneß, the longtime general manager of Bayern, who is now right now third with VfB Stuttgart ahead of Borussia Dortmund. Both, they are not accused of it, but both are basically copying De Serbi. Actually, Hoeneß interned for a while at De Serbi, or with De Serbi, and learned from him. And Sebastian Hoeneß was also on Bayern's list, but he has extended his contract with Stuttgart recently, so he won't go to Bayern this summer. But there is an appreciation for just De Serbi football in general right now.
Constantine, we love having you on because you know German football inside out and back to front. I'll ask you this, and I don't think I've ever done this with you. Is it your own personal view that De Zerbi would be a good fit for Bayern at this time?
My personal view? No, it won't be. Not because of his tactical acumen and everything that relates to that, but because of his man management and just the way he is, because he is a bit of a hothead, and he is actually kind of he can instigate people, he can provoke players, he can, you know, get on the bad terms with players. He has done that a couple of times actually in recent times. And think about Bayern, think about like the combustible personality, De Serbi, and think about all the trouble that has been going on at Bayern internally. I don't know if that would be really the best fit, to be honest, because I can see De Serbi like just throwing his hands up after 3 months and saying, I'm done here.
Interesting. I mean, what manager isn't like that, I suppose, these days? The top ones come that way, don't
Jim,
they?
It's
combustibility.
It's male aggression.
We're going to get to that. Constantine, thank you very much indeed. Constantine Eckner, he's a great fellow over there. Dara, as an owner, do you mind a manager like De Zerbi, if you like, before the Liverpool game there, saying what he said and pushing the envelope somewhat?
No, I'd call him out. Like, you know, I...
Would you have a word with him?
Yeah.
If you were Tony or Paul?
A word with him. I'd have a few words with him. Absolutely. I mean, I'd be like, look, you were going nowhere. I took you here. I gave you a good job in the Premier League. Brighton's a great, well-run club. It was a nice fit. You've done great. You've done okay. But don't call me out like that in a press conference. If you have a problem, we'll have a meeting. If you're saying to me you want more money in the transfer market, we can have that discussion. You want a different contract, we can have that discussion. But let's not negotiate via the press. I hate managers who use the press to negotiate. I've never been a fan of that. I had it happen to me once and, you know, got rid of that manager not long after, and we were in the top six at the time.
Really?
I can't be dealing with it. And I think when you give somebody everything and then they go out and... Say you're married and you give your partner everything and they go on YouTube every day and tell you all the things you're not good at. Yeah. At the end of the day, you know, what do you do?
Having said you bin them. You know, the Brighton model, though, isn't it a model that's always going to attract comment like this? De Zerbi, he has done very well with them.
Sure.
Graham Potter did very well with them. That's as far as I can go. This is as far as maybe we can go. Unless Bloom and Barber tell me different.
I think that's unfair because they've just qualified to Europe for the first time in a while. Right. They've done all right in Europe. They went out early, beat Rome in the last game. It was a scratch match or whatever. I think they've had a lot of injuries. I think give them a chance. I think Brighton now could come to be a top seven Premier League club. Maybe win a trophy, flirt with that. And it doesn't mean they keep having to lose their managers. And they'll eventually get sick of that. Maybe they want a manager to stay for 2, 3, 4 years and win that trophy so they don't keep losing that person. And again, I'll just say it to you that I think sometimes we give, when a manager does okay and has a certain style, maybe we get a bit, I got excited about this guy 6, 7 months ago and thought, oh, football's unbelievable, maybe he's good for Liverpool. Now I'm watching him and I'm looking how he is in those press conferences and whatever else. I'm like, not for me.
So you wouldn't want him at Liverpool?
No.
Either, which is your team. Yeah. Incidentally, I mean, yeah, managers use the media. Of course they do.
Sure.
Do you owners not use the media?
Yeah, potentially to motivate and to do whatever else. But
potentially.
Well, okay, yeah, we do. Of course we do. Every owner does. But at the end of the day, we're the employer.
Yeah.
We pay the wages. So we're within our right if we want to do that.
Yeah, but you and Simon's the same. If you can't beat them, join them. You've got your own podcast. Well, Jordan's omnipresent in the media. Well,
my advice then to a manager would be go buy a football club if you don't like it. But at the end of the day, you work for me. And the last thing you want to do is bite the hand that feeds you.
You've always got that, you owners, over everybody.
What's this you owners bit?
We're the last line of defence. We are the final authority.
You owners bit?
But haven't you? You've always got that over managers, players, even fans.
Well, yeah, because when I need to put £1 million into the club to pay the wages, it's not like the manager's ringing me and sending me a bank transfer.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom. Like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
Quality sleep is essential. That's why the Sleep Number Smart Bed is designed for your ever-evolving sleep needs. Need a bed that's firmer or softer on either side? Helps you sleep at a comfortable temperature? Sleep Number Smart Beds let you individualize your comfort, so you sleep better together. J.D. Power ranks Sleep Number number one in customer satisfaction with mattresses purchased in-store. And now, save 40% on the Sleep Number Limited Edition Smart Bed for a limited time. For J.D. Power 2023 award information, visit jdpower.com/awards. Only at Sleep Number stores or sleepnumber.com.
The world's most dangerous download. Outspoken with White and Jordan. From the world's biggest sports radio station, Talk Sport.
We're talking about club owners. Should club owners give a damn about old age pensioners, military personnel and key workers? Dara, you would say, of course we do. Mm. Of course we do. But like everything else, football is a business. Crystal Palace criticised by their own season ticket holders after the club decided to remove discounts for members of the armed forces and NHS staff. They will save 25K.
But I did see somebody write in from Palace fans here on our little thing saying that they froze season ticket prices. Let's give them credit for that too. If we're going to criticise clubs for doing whatever, we've got to give credit where credit's due.
Fair enough, but there is a recurring theme here because Tottenham fans turned their backs in the 65th minute of their home game against Luton on Saturday in protest at the club's plans to remove concessions for new senior season ticket holders.
The stadium cost £1.5 billion during COVID. I think also we need to cut some clubs some slack as well. It's not about... It's easy to go out and go, oh, yeah, Man City and they all have money and they're owned by billionaires. But you look at Tottenham, they got the best stadium in the Premier League. They spent £1.5 billion during COVID. It was empty for like 18 months because of those draconian rules. And now they're probably paying a high price and re-loans back on it. Of course, they've got to earn as much money as they can.
I get that.
So they can pay it off, Jim.
But it always seems to be fans in some shape or form that end up paying for it.
They're your customers. If TalkSport tomorrow...
How about whipping a grand a week off some of the players?
If TalkSport tomorrow doubled your wages but said to you we're going to have to charge a subscription service and we think the 1.2 or 1.3 million people that listen will pay it and we're now going to double your dough, you're going to say no and don't even try and answer that you would.
But it's a crazy example. You've got customers out there who cannot wait to see your next home game and are happy to pay for it.
Mm-hmm.
And yet it always seems to be, not in your case, Darren, because to be fair to you, you've frozen prices for three seasons.
Sure.
It always seems to be the fans that get hit in the pocket. Why not the players?
I agree with that. 1,000,000%. You know that argument.
Instead of
recently,
earning a few thousand this week, we're going to hit you with a little reduction.
We had the thing a couple of weeks ago, the EFL and the Premier League, about this TV, this new deal that's meant to have been done, hasn't got done. And the Premier League said, we don't want to give that money out because it'll go to the players. I actually agree with the Premier League there. I said that again on the podcast, that I don't want new money we get in, hardtruthfootball.com, any new football we get in from a Premier League deal, I don't want it to go to the players. I want it to go to our facilities. I want to go to our academy, our pitches. I agree.
Yeah.
The last thing I want to do, if I get an extra £1 million next year from the Premier League,
good.
I don't want to give it to players and agents.
Good.
I want to put it where it's needed.
Yeah.
And that in turn may allow us to charge cheaper prices.
Okay. I mean, as I say, and this surprised me, at the Etihad at the weekend, Manchester City fans group unfurled a banner before kickoff. Record profits, but record prices. Stop exploiting our loyalty. Now, when it comes to City fans doing it, something's wrong. Nick's a Tottenham fan. Nick, good morning. What do you want to say in this?
Yeah, good morning. Yeah, great show. Yeah, I'm a Tottenham fan, been going over 40 years, season ticket holder over 20 years. Whilst I don't agree with the concessions being withdrawn, it's only ever been at one end of the ground anyway, where all the fans stand up. So if you're over 65 and a bit infirm, you're not going to want to be there. And Spurs know full well that they can more or less charge what they want because they've got such a big waiting list. Now, I don't kid myself. I pay nearly £1,300 a year for a season ticket because I love going to watch Spurs. But I don't kid myself that really the big clubs don't want season ticket holders. They want the tourist that's going to come along, spend £50 or £100 or so in the club shop, buy their food and drink, because apart from the 7 million... every home game that Dara mentioned, they get nearly £1 million in food and drink as well.
Gee.
So, you know, they don't, at the end of the day, you've got to live in the real world. I mean, a few fans around me turned their back. I didn't at the weekend because there's no point in trying to join a battle you're not going to win. The odds aren't even 40.
That's an interesting call.
Nick talks common sense.
Call.
Nick, let me ask you a question before you go. If Tottenham next year, and they've done brilliant this year on the Ange, if Tottenham next year, with seven games to go, were in a title race, and they put the price up 15% on what you already pay, Nick, would you pay the price rise?
I would, but then I'm in a fortunate position. I mean, I'm not fabulously rich, but I would be able to do it.
So Nick, before you, actually, Nick, before you go, as you've been speaking to Darren, myself, and everybody listening all around the country this morning, how about this for a message? In view of what you've just said, just dropped a second ago. Morning, Jim. Dara, I've just dropped an American family off at the Emirates for a tour. They have four tickets for the Luton game tomorrow. They paid £2,400 from a company recommended on the Arsenal website. My season ticket at Arsenal is £900.
Wow.
It's disgusting, is it not? And you're talking about tourists, Nick.
Yeah, well, that's it. That's what they want. And I mean, I did have a wry joke with the guy next to me, and I said, I bet Daniel Levy wishes Son had a longer name because he'd be getting a lot more money for a name on the shirt. I bet he didn't. I bet he said, now, come on, Sonny, can't we call you Hun Ming and put that on the shirt as well?
Brilliant. Nick, I like that.
Brilliant, Nick.
Thank you very much indeed. Certain fans are getting priced out. Nick can afford it. Others can't, Darren. That's the bottom line.
That's the way of life, Jim. That's,
I know.
That's how it works. You know that.
Carol's a Manchester United fan.
Hey, Carol.
Carol, good morning. On this topic, I think you're ready with your opinion on it.
Yes, I am. I think it's very mean-minded, actually. I've supported Manchester United all my life. I couldn't be a season ticket holder because I couldn't afford one. I go to the matches as and when I can get a ticket. And I think I couldn't afford a higher price ticket, really. And as for the young man who's just spoken, saying that people over 65 don't want to stand up and watch the football, I do. I get a ticket wherever I can sit. And I take exception to people thinking that older people can just afford everything. And it's not fair. I mean, I'm treated exceptionally well at the club when I go, and I love it. I'd go every match if I could, but it's just not possible. And hiking the price of the tickets up or taking the concessions away, it's very unfair.
Totally, Carol. I totally get where you're coming from. And that's from the heart, isn't it?
No,
Carol's speaking from the heart there.
She is, and God bless.
Man United's her club.
No, God bless her, and you know, particularly having to watch that this season. But no, she's joking, Man United fans. Fair play to Carol. I understand where she's coming from. And you don't want to lose the Carols and fans like that of the world who go to the game, because it is what makes the game passionate. It's, you want to go to games where you can feel it and hear the fans. Tourists don't really bring the same passion. Let's be very fair and honest. And I just want to say something quickly before we go off air. There's a foundation around our football club that works closely with us called Free Kicks Foundation. They did a thing where they raised money for fans who couldn't afford to go to games for the Wembley. They raised over $6,000 and bought loads of fans who don't have the money during impoverished times for a day out at Wembley for families. And I want to just put a special thing out there for Free Kicks Foundation. The work they do in football for that kind of thing, incredible.
Fair enough. Actually, Danny, you get praised by a lot of fans of other clubs. Portsmouth, did you have 5,000 Portsmouth fans in at your place?
We did. My manager lost his rag with me. Lost in his post-match interview about that. Yeah, about they took one of the stands and we shouldn't have done that and did it then. I said, well, you know, you're going to want an extra staff member, you're going to want an extra player, and I'm going to say I don't have the money, and I turned down $50,000 from getting the Portsmouth fans in, and you can't have it all.
Danger. Flammable exchanges ahead. Outspoken with White and Jordan. From the world's biggest sports radio station, Talk Sport.
It was interesting over the weekend. There were stories here, there, and everywhere. It seemed Chelsea manager in the women's game, Emma Hayes, accused her counterpart, Jonas Eidevall, of male aggression on the touchline during Arsenal's 1-0. Well, we'll get to this. Arsenal's 1-0 Continental League Cup final win in extra time at the weekend. Hayes appeared to push Eidevall as they shook hands after what was described as a feisty tie. And she said she thought his behaviour on the touchline towards Aaron Cuthbert wasn't on. This is interesting. Post-match, let's have a listen. Eidevall's on the way, but this was Emma Hayes first.
Listen, I think there's a way to conduct yourself on the touchline. I really do. And I think that it's absolutely essential we role model in the right way. But I'm not down for male aggression on the touchline. I'm not. And fronting up with players, for me, that's unacceptable. And yeah, I was disappointed. And I told Jonas that. I don't think it's okay to behave like that. He got a yellow card, and in fact, he probably should have been sent off. I'm all for competing to win. I've never been booked in 12 years, you know, my time here. I totally accept he's a winner and he wants to win, but his behaviour on the touchline wasn't acceptable.
So she thought his behaviour towards Cuthbert as she went to take a throw-in there in the dying minutes of the game was unacceptable. Male aggression. She called it male aggression. This is what Eidevall had to say for it.
I definitely don't see me as aggressive in that situation. I think that's very irresponsible, putting that label onto it. I think there is definitely a way that you behave in the technical area to it. I also think there is a way you behave after the game, being a good winner, but you also need to be a good loser. And you need to be responsible in both those situations to it. I'm actually happy with the way I conduct myself, and then others need to look at themselves in the mirror and see if they're happy with themselves.
You know, before we talk about this, Dara, what I do know is that earlier this season, Manchester City boss Gareth Taylor accused the same Eidevall of bullying a fourth official.
Bullying, male. We really, you love all this, by the way, don't you? And Luke over there is licking his lips, the producer. This whole woketopia. Listen, she's out of order using those words.
What, male aggression?
Absolutely. And she knew what she was doing. She owes him an apology, in my opinion. The one thing I'm always going to say to you is I'm going to treat men and women exactly the same when it comes to football. And I would turn around and say congrats to her, because she's acted like every manager I've ever hired who's lost a game and acted like a big baby. And I've had loads of my managers act like that, who absolutely throw their toys out of the pram, sour grapes at the end and say things they don't mean. She's used words she shouldn't have used. She knew what she was doing. Now that's put him in this light. Now you're suddenly referring to someone else, calling him a bully. You know, male aggression. This is football. You're managing a football game, whether it's men or women. Get on with it. Stop using the modern day words that you know is going to get a reaction that you want. All right, for me, should never have happened. And now I'll probably get called misogynistic by her or everyone else for saying that. But I'm going to treat men and women the same in football management, because you guys want the first female manager or the first whatever manager.
We don't want anything.
I'm going to treat them all exactly the same. That's absolute nonsense. I saw her push him on the pitch after the game. If there was any aggression, from my perspective, what I saw came from one side. And that happens as well. I've seen my manager get pushed by other managers and vice versa. It's why he's been red carded a couple of times this season. I wouldn't call that male aggression. You know what I'd call that? I'd call that football hysteria, where you lose your mind during a football game. We're all guilty of it.
I mean, should the key word here is male. Should she have used male?
Nope.
Male aggression.
Nope, absolutely
male aggression.
Nope.
If the roles were reversed, would the reaction be the same?
Oh, he'd be done. He wouldn't work again in football. He'd never be on Talk Sport. He'd never be on Sky. He'd be done. Absolutely done. And that's why I'm disappointed she's done that. As a very decorated manager she is, she's off to manage the US women's national team, probably the wokest football team in the world, but she's off to do that. And at the end of the day, she's been talked about potentially managing in the men's game and everything else, and I'd welcome that to see how she'd get on. But guess what happens in football? It's not male or female aggression. That's just what goes on.
But you welcome Emma in the men's game.
Absolutely. As long as she could cope with it without worrying about who's aggressive and not aggressive. Because let me tell you right now, I watch every game up and down the country, whether it's female or male, and people get antsy on sidelines. They get antsy in crowds. I wouldn't call it overly aggressive behaviour where you're shouting and screaming about a football game. Put a camera on me for 90 minutes. I'll probably look like a serial killer sat there supporting my team.
I've sat beside you, I've watched
you
it.
Know, so I honestly think she overreacted. I think it's just sour grapes, and he's definitely owed an apology.
I mean, the thing is, it's bound to happen. As you say, it happens in the game. It just so happens that he's a male.
Correct.
In the female game.
Yep. So absolutely. And he's now been tarred with that brush. Now he's been tarred with that brush. Now you've got someone saying he's a bully. It's very easy to jump on this, and I hate that that's the world we live in nowadays, where straight away it's character assassination for somebody. You know, I've watched it, I've seen the footage. It looks like to me, I'm just wondering would she have said that if Chelsea had won that game, we're still on for the quadruple.
The world's most dangerous download.
Outspoken with White and Jordan. From the world's biggest sports radio station, Talk Sport.
Thanks for listening to Outspoken with White and Jordan. Please leave us a 5-star review wherever you get your podcast from. We're back tomorrow to bring you the best of the show.
Hi, this is Craig Robinson from Ways to Win, and support for this podcast comes from Invesco QQQ, the official ETF of the NCAA. The future isn't scary, not realizing its potential, however, could be. Just like on the recruiting trail, I've seen potential come in many forms as a coach. Learn more at Invesco.com/QQQ. Let's rethink possibility. Invesco Distributors, Inc.